It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Every service is unique, but never make the mistake of believing that God isn't at work in every service, speaking and touching, making a difference in our lives. Amen. So good to see all God's people here. And before the weather deteriorates any further, I'm going to get right into the Word tonight and share something I believe will be helpful to our lives and living, if the Holy Spirit will enable us to share it tonight. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of James, I just want to read a reference that alludes to a character of the Old Testament, and then I want to share a truth from his life. We were down at Mike and Olivia's a few weeks back, and they live in the hills of eastern Ohio, and you can scan for radio stations, and they're hard to find any. And I was thinking about this topic tonight, and the radio happened to light upon a man teaching. I don't know who it was. It didn't last long before the signal was gone. And he was sharing on this topic, and I thought, you know, people really, really need to hear this. And I think this will really help us tonight, as I said, if we allow the Holy Spirit to come by and be a part of this evening. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. Just good to see all God's people in His house tonight. It really is. Confess your faults. This is verse 16 of James 5. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17. Here's what I want to draw our attention to. Really just the first part of this. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. I just want to end it there. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. You could really, without doing injustice to the word, read it this way. Elias was a man subject to like emotions as we are, and he prayed. I wish I could have thought of a better, more riveting title tonight, and I couldn't. So I just want to talk to you about examining your emotions. Examining your emotions. Emotions have got more people to quit serving God than Satan ever dreamed of. Amen. You go ahead and be seated tonight. I'll just start talking to you. I love the classic literature. But in literature, there's a story about a man. He has a very lovely and a loyal wife. But he starts feeling like she is committing adultery, being unfaithful to him. And he feels so strongly about this, he keeps in his suspicious mind pestering her, plaguing her about it. People tried to convince him that it wasn't true. Esteemed people came to him and friends came to him, tried to convince him was it true, but he would not believe because he felt like she was being unfaithful. And he persisted till he destroyed his home, he destroyed his marriage, he destroyed his own health, and eventually he died. None of it was true, but because of the way he felt, he convinced himself that it was. Emotions are powerful things. I want you to know what something that any one of us could do. Listen to me. Any one of us tonight could look around in our lives and we could build a case. We could build a case either for faith or we could build a case for doubt. I want you to think about that. Look around in your life. You can build a case for faith, believing God, or you can build a case for doubt. Look around in your life. You can build a case for failure. A reason to believe that you're going to fail, or you can build a case and a reason to believe that through Christ you'll be victorious. And the thing that determines that is our emotion. Listen to me when I say that the case for failure, the case for turning back, the case for giving up is almost completely built upon, founded upon the way a person feels. Emotions are powerful things. You know, many of us, we see a need to pray a certain way. See if this isn't true. Don't you feel a need to pray as a believer trying to serve the Lord? Don't you pray something like this? Lord, purify my thoughts. Lord, help me in the way that I think. You ever pray that? And that's a legitimate, that's a great prayer. But I think, Brother Dale, it's just as legitimate to pray, Lord, help me with my emotions. Purify my emotions. Help me to control my emotions. I think that's just as legitimate of a prayer. You know, I know you believe it's a legitimate prayer to pray for your body and other people's bodies when you're sick. Isn't that legitimate? Isn't it legitimate when your body is sick to say, oh, God, I pray that you'd heal my body? Did you know it's just as legitimate when your emotions are hurt and out of whack and messed up? It's just as legitimate to pray, oh, God, heal my emotions. Heal me in the way that I'm feeling. Now, here's what I have found, and I think you would agree with me, but we so easily take our emotions' word about things. We really do. We listen to our emotions, and we take our emotions' word about things. We're living in a time when emotion has become the final authority. It's not what makes sense. It's not what is logical. It's not what is absolute truth. It's I feel. In fact, people are advised, do what feels right. Do what feels good. Do what you feel that you ought to do. And we've made emotions the final authority. And I have found that people quickly agree with their emotions. Their emotions say, you're a failure. And they say, okay, I'm a failure because I feel like a failure. Their emotions say, you're not going to make it. And they quickly agree. That's right, I'm not going to make it. My emotions have said, I'm not going to make it. And so I want to encourage us tonight, instead of taking our emotions' word for things, why don't we just question our emotions in the context of this word? Wouldn't that be a better way? Why don't we examine our emotions? And I really want to help you tonight. So let me take the story of Elijah and let's ask some questions. First of all, what is the reason I'm feeling what I'm feeling? What is the reason I'm feeling what I'm feeling? I'm going to tell the story in brief, but Elijah been on Mount Carmel, and there was a contest with the prophets of Baal, and they had their opportunity. They put their sacrifice on the altar, and they cried out to their false gods to send fire from heaven. No fire fell in spite of their antics and their passion and everything, in spite of their emotion. Came Elijah's time. He had them rebuild the altar. He had them put the wood on, the sacrifice on, and then he had them pour water on that. Barrel after barrel of water till the sacrifice was soaked and the rocks were soaked and the ground round about. And then he prayed a simple prayer, God of heaven, send fire. And fire fell and consumed the sacrifice and consumed the wood and consumed the stone and consumed the water around it. And then all the prophets of Baal were killed. And then Elijah, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Elijah went and he prayed that it would rain. And pretty soon, here comes a storm cloud. Well, you got to get off the mountain because the storm's coming. He told the king, get your chariot, get off the mountain. There goes the chariot down the mountain. And the Spirit of the Lord hit Elijah. And Elijah outran the chariot down the mountain. That's some pretty powerful things. But listen, just a few verses later, this is in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, that's a broom bush, and he requested for himself that he might die. Huh? And said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life from the mountaintop to under the juniper tree. The question Elijah should have asked himself is, what is the reason I'm feeling like I'm feeling? I mean, does anyone doubt Elijah is awfully, awfully low? And I want you to look at what emotions did to one of the greatest men of God that has ever lived. Look what emotions did to him. And again, I just want to enumerate those things real quickly. I told you a little bit in the story. He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He raised the dead. He called fire out of heaven. It fell. He prayed for rain. It poured. He was anointed to outrun the horses. And now His emotions have got him in a state of total and complete depression and discouragement. Emotions did that to this man of God. I want you also to notice that Elijah's lowest point immediately followed his highest point. Did you see that? I want you to think about these things. I'm not being redundant. I just want you to think about what must it have been to look a king in the eyes and say, King, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And your word happened. What would it have been like to say, fire fall and fire fail? What would it have been like to feel such an anointing that you could outrun horses? I mean, what a powerful, powerful experience. And now Elijah's depressed and seeking, as it were, assisted suicide. That's what he was looking for. And I know it's a horrible word and it brings up awful, awful feelings. But that's how low Elijah was. He said, God, I don't even want to live anymore. And I know that's not right, God. So for me to take my life, so God, why don't you take my life? But you notice something here. Past victories and past experiences do not exempt us from great spiritual battles and great spiritual depressions and darkness. That's why you should never doubt those spiritual experiences just because you came to a place, a spiritual battle in darkness. Let me ask you something very pointedly. Did Elijah's depression cancel out the fact that fire did fall from heaven? Not a bit. But we allow our discouragements and things to cancel out what God has done. The question he should have asked is, why do I feel? What is the reason I'm feeling like I'm feeling? Now, let me just mention briefly, our emotions never go. There's a few people that get close, but our emotions don't go flat line. If we could hook our emotions up like they hook a heart up to a monitor, our emotions would look just like a heartbeat, right? And some of us are a little more extreme than others, right? And it's just like with the heartbeat. If you got straight line emotions, you're probably dead, at least a dead head, right? Our emotions are not flat line. They're ups and downs, dips and crests. Emotions are quickly changing, fickle things. And so instead of listening to his emotions, he should have asked this question. I'm encouraging you tonight to ask this question next time your emotions are out of whack serving God. What is the reason I'm feeling like I'm feeling? We say, that's easy. That's easy. I know what the reason is. Because after he came down from that mount, having killed 450 false prophets who were the little puppets of Queen Elizabeth. Queen, she's still living. Queen, help me out. Jezebel. That depressed me. I'm just going to quit preaching. Those false prophets were the puppets of Queen Jezebel who brought that idolatry into Israel. When Elijah came down off the mountain, he was still breathing hard from running, and Jezebel sent him word. She said, you killed my prophets, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. You say, that's the reason Elijah was depressed. He had a price on his head. I want to tell you, that's not the reason he was depressed. What is the reason I'm feeling? Now, when he heard that news, he ran. He ran out of town. He ran out of the country. He went way down south into the desert. And he crawled up under this juniper tree. But I want you to look at verse 5. It tells us the reason. It says, and as he lay and slept. We're starting to get it. What did he do? He lay and he what? Slept under a juniper tree. Behold, the angel touched him and said unto him, rise and what? Now we're getting the real reason he was feeling what he was feeling. Verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink. The angel said, rise and eat, and laid him down again. You know the real reason Elijah was feeling what he was feeling? It wasn't even that spiritual. He was exhausted. All of that with the prophets, all of that running, all that emotional, spiritual battle. He was exhausted,
physically and mentally and emotionally. He was exhausted and he was tired. I don't know how long he slept under the juniper tree before the angel woke him up and he ate, but as soon as he ate, he's still exhausted and he's back under the juniper tree. Now, I'm not going to tell you that all your emotional problems are because you're exhausted and need to eat more. I'm not going to tell you that. Okay? His body was depleted. But what I'm going to tell you is Elijah missed the real reason the way he felt the way he felt. How many times do we miss the real reason we feel the way we feel? And I want to tell you, that old adage is so true. There's always two reasons. There's the reason we tell others, we publish, and then there's the real reason. There's even the reason we tell ourselves, and then there's the real reason. I want to tell you, if you want victory over these emotions, that's the first thing you need to ask. What is the real reason I am feeling what I am feeling? Amen. You say, well, I don't feel like I fit in. What's the real reason of that? Think about that. I don't feel like I can make it. Really, why do you feel that way? What's the real reason? I don't feel like I can make any difference. Why do you feel that way? I don't feel like my family, I'm doing any good. Why? What is the real reason? And I think many times when you get to the real reason, it's not what you thought. Number two, the second question Elijah should have asked and we need to ask is, what is the reality about what I'm thinking that causes this feeling? What is the reality about what I'm thinking that causes? Let me just put it a lot more simple. Is it true? The thing that's got my emotions all messed up, the thing I'm thinking about that has got me discouraged, the thing I'm thinking about that's got me all worked up, is it true? What is the reality behind that? Now, you see, he's up under this juniper tree, but he doesn't stay there. That's on the edge of the wilderness, and he leaves the juniper tree, goes further into the wilderness, and he holes up in a cave on Mount Horeb. And when he gets in that cave, God says, what are you doing here? How many's ever had God ask you that? Amen. What are you doing here? In other words, God's telling him, why did you run from Israel? Why did you run from where you was? What are you doing here? You should have stayed. You let your discouragement bring you here. You let your discouragement cause you to run. Look in verse 14. Here's his answer, Elijah's answer. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. And he said, the children of Israel, they've not kept the covenant. And they've thrown down your altars. And they've slain your prophet. Here it is. And he said, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now, the last part is true. But look what he says here. He said, I am the only one that's left. That is what he was thinking that gave him the wrong emotions. He's thinking, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. He's discouraged because he keeps thinking. But the test is that true? See, we just agree with our emotions because we're thinking these things, but the things that have messed us up emotionally, is it true? You see, our emotions can tell us many things. Nobody likes you. That's your emotion talking. You aren't worth anything. You'll never make it. You're not even really saved. Your emotions can tell you anything. But the question to ask is what my emotions, that's what my emotions are telling me, is that true? You know, I think Christians ought to specialize in truth. That ought to be the thing we seek in all things. Is it true? Is it true? Now, when Elijah said that, you know what God told him? He said, go stand in front of the cave. And Elijah stand there on the cave on that old barren pile of rocks that's called Mount Horeb. And hurricane force winds blew by. And those winds were so strong. I know some winds had blown down half my wood pile. That's pretty strong wood winds. But these winds were so strong, they were blowing rocks off the mountain. But God wasn't in the wind. And then he's still standing there, and that mountain starts shaking. Earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. And then fire started falling. But God wasn't in the fire. And then there came a still, quiet voice. And God was in the still, quiet voice. I think even there that God was trying to tell Elijah something. God's not always in the hurricane emotion. God's not always in the earthquake emotion. And God's not always in the fire emotion. But God is always in that voice that peacefully and quietly speaks to our heart. Is it true? I'm the only one. And God begins to speak to him. Now, some other things are going to happen. We'll get to it in a moment before we quit. But look at verse 18. One of the things that God said to him in that still small voice, he said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him, that idol." It wasn't true. Elijah felt the way he felt because he said, "I'm the only one." And God said, "What are you doing here in that depression?" Because it is not true. Next time your emotions tell you something, stop them right there and say, "Is it true? Is it true?" Your emotions will tell you, Brother Ryan, you'll never really make it. Is it true? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we need to listen to. It's this right here. This is true. This is the true state of things. I thought of this, and please, he told this on himself, and I'm not being unkind, but I got to tell you it this way, so you, just to get the illustration, I thought it was so powerfully an example of this. There's a minister in our circles that's preached for years, and he used to be very, very large. And he said that he was down preaching somewhere in a church, and they had a tremendous service. And people were worshiping and just really getting in. And he said this little sister, she was the skinniest thing you ever saw. She's just that big around. All of a sudden, she let out a shout, and she shouted back and forth and back and forth and back and forth across the front. And after the service, quiet down, it's getting time for benediction, like they do a lot in those churches down south. The pastor said, "Now, does anyone want to testify?" And everybody was shocked because that little lady, she jumped up and she grabbed the microphone. She said, "Yes, Pastor, I want to testify." She said, "You know, for years and years and years and years and years, I've wanted to be able to worship and shout like that. But every time I'd feel like shouting, the devil would tell me, 'You're going to look fat if you shout.'" That past preacher, you know, that very large preacher, he grabbed the mic out of her hand and he said, "You listen to me, sister. Don't you listen to Satan. He's been trying to tell me that all my life." See? The question is it true? For that lady, it was not true. And look how much she missed out on because she listened to the enemy who stirred up wrong emotions about herself. Here's another question Elijah should have asked. What is the response I'm having that's encouraging this feeling? How is it that I'm responding that's only feeding this wrong emotion? You know, emotions are like thoughts and desires. They can be good or they can be bad. They can be helpful or they can be harmful. You see, we don't want to get rid of all emotions. Oh, I've got to go on. I just thought of something. Maybe I shouldn't share it. You got to understand, I'm from Oklahoma, and I have the blood in me, so if I use the word Indian, it's acceptable. But I used to say to my kids, because this was an expression I grew up with in Oklahoma, "You drive a wooden Indian to drink." Anyone ever heard that expression? Years ago, Hannah was on choir tour, and I got this picture. She's in one of those trading posts out there. And there he is. And she's smiling, pointing a finger at him. Said, "Dad, I found him." Without emotions, we would just be wooden. Emotions aren't bad. Right? Emotions aren't bad. They can be good or bad. And thoughts can be good or bad. So we don't want to get rid of the emotions. You've heard me say before, and I want to tell you again. Think of driving a car. It's all right to have emotions in the car, just don't let them behind the driver's, the steering wheel, in the driver's seat. It's okay to have emotions in the passenger seat. Just don't let them behind the wheel. You see what I'm saying? Don't let them control your life. It may be a thing, I haven't thought of this in years, but I took a girl out once in high school, and she's crazy. We'd be going down the road, and all of a sudden, she'd reach over and just jerk the steering wheel and try to get us to wreck. That's not a good experience. So sometimes, listen, sometimes you don't even need to let the emotions in the passenger seat. Put them in the trunk. I didn't do that to her, but... Emotions are good. Just don't let them control your life. Don't let emotions make your spiritual decisions. Right? And so what should be our response? Well, let's look at Elijah. And you know, let me just tell you this before we look quickly at Elijah. We're about done. But let me tell you this. Sometimes you need to say to your emotions, you're not in charge. The Holy Spirit in me and through me is in charge of my life. I'm going to ask you a question. What if we gave the Holy Spirit as much control of our life as we give our emotions? And make no doubt, the Spirit can trigger our emotions too. But I'm going to tell you, it needs to be the Holy Spirit that's in control of our life and not just how I feel. I'm a little afraid to ask this question, but how many would have been in Sunday school this morning if you went totally by how you felt this morning? How many, if you went by what you felt, you would have stayed in bedside assembly? Did you see the youth pastor? You're close enough, we can drag you over here. You just got to tell your emotions, you're not in control of my life. The Holy Spirit is in control of my life. Look at Elijah's response. Verse 3, he saw, he arose, he went for his life. In other words, he fled, he ran. And he went way away. He got away from everything to Beersheba. Verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness after he got rid of his servant. He left his servant there, went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down on the juniper tree. And let me just quickly, we could take all night, but I'm just going to take a few seconds here. His first response that only increased the way he felt is that he fled instead of faced it. Instead of facing it, he fled. That only increased the way he felt. I'm telling you, when you're in a spiritual battle, don't flee. Stand there for her. Face it in the power of God. Be strong. I don't care what your emotions feel like. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then what did he do? He not only fled, he isolated himself. At first he took his servant with him, but he even left his servant and went on without his servant and got to a place that nobody would be around. He crawled up under this broom bush. I'm going to tell you, and it happens over and over. It's happened this week. Talk to folks. I'm just discouraged. And that's why I'm not coming to church. I'm discouraged. Mistake, mistake, mistake. That's what Elijah did. That only increased his wrong emotion. When you're in the heat of it, when you're discouraged, that's when you need not to isolate yourself, but get with the prayer group. Get with the people of God. Amen. There on the mountain, God never asked Elijah how he felt, but what was he doing there? In other words, why did you leave? Why did you run? Why did you isolate yourself? Last question. Those were the responses that only increased the wrong emotion, but what is the reaction I should have to this feeling? Elijah could have asked this. Now, I've already mentioned that God wasn't in the emotional stimulating things like wind and fire and earthquake. He was in the still, small voice. But when God began to speak, notice this, what God told him. Look at verse 15. Go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now notice, here's Elijah saying, I'm depressed, I'm the only one. Lord, just take my life. And God didn't say, like we like to hear, poor thing. God never said that. The first thing he told Elijah, I've got something for you to do. I have something for you to do. Anoint Hazael over Syria. Anoint Jehu over Israel. And anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your place. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? When our emotions are getting us down, it's time just to do what God has said to do. That's what God told him. Just do this thing. Don't quit. God's got something for you to do. Don't sit. Go and follow. It doesn't matter what Jezebel said. It doesn't matter how things look. What God was saying is, you think it's all over with, but don't you realize I have a plan? You see the connection here? Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah believed her. But God said, why are you worried about Jezebel killing you? I still got things for you to do. And nobody's able to kill you until you get done what I have for you to do. I've got a plan. You know, we get to that place. We listen to the voice of Satan. We listen to our emotions. We think it's all over with us. This is the end of the road. We've come to the end of the dead end alley. And this is it. And the whole time God's saying, what are you doing here? This isn't the end, because I got a plan for your life, and I know my plan, and my plan goes beyond this point where you're discouraged, and my plan goes beyond this point where you think you're at the dead end. Hallelujah. And so God told Elijah, you don't have to listen to your emotion and be discouraged. I've still got things for you to do. And I'm telling you, one of the most wonderful things when you're discouraged, and one of the most effective things to do is just to get on back doing what God would have you do. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'm discouraged, but God says go to church. I'll go to church. I don't feel like worshiping, but worshiping pleases God. I'm going to worship. I don't feel like praying. Amen. But praying is encouraged by my God, and so I'm just going to pray. Just, oh, hallelujah. And I'll tell you, if you'll begin to do those things, it might not be an immediate thing, but something's going to start changing in your life. And Elijah, he does get this message. And I know it referred to a prior time, but I believe this caught up with him. He was subject to like emotions, but it didn't keep him from praying. He just kept doing. Would you come, music? I've probably told it several times. I just think it's a great story from history. The great Martin Luther that resulted in the Reformation, Protestantism, in which we are a part. He had a lot of battles. You know, sometimes you think that great men and women of God don't have to wrestle with emotions. That's why I read to you about Elijah tonight. He's one of the greatest men of God, and he struggled with emotions. Martin Luther, the battle got thick, and he became so depressed. He had moped around for days, been discouraged for days. And he came downstairs one morning, and his wife was dressed all in black in mourning clothes. And Martin Luther, he looked at his wife, and he said, who died? And she looked up from whatever she was doing. She said, God did. He said, woman, you're crazy. What do you mean God died? She said, well, you was acting like it, so I thought he did. Did you know we go by our emotion, we end up acting like God died? He's alive. His plan goes on. Get up, Elijah. Got things for you to do. Amen. Aren't there some questions we can ask? Amen. Would you stand? Father, thank you for your people. Bless them, God. Take your word. Make it a living thing in our hearts. Oh, God, how we need you. How we need to hear your voice, Lord. Oh, God, stronger than our emotion, stronger, Lord, than our doubt, stronger than the voice of our enemy. Lord, to listen to your voice and hear what you have to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, I'm just going to make this altar call. We all have these times. I'm not going to make a specific call. You know, for instance, if you're discouraged tonight, of course it's open for that. But if you'd just like to come tonight and say, I want the Holy Spirit to be in control of my life,
and not just my emotions. Would you come begin to fill the altar tonight? Would you do that? See, I want the Holy Spirit in control of my life. The way I think, the way I feel, what I do, I invite the Holy Spirit to have control. I give Him my life. I surrender all service long. That message has been coming forth. I surrender. You can surrender the way you feel to the Lord. You can surrender. Don't run. Don't isolate. Amen. Just do what God would have you to do. His plan goes on. He's got more for you to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Let's just seek Him a bit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Listen to the Lord tonight. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah.